I thank all the organizers for their kind invitation, which allows me to meet and discuss with you. I will stay near the projector, so maybe that the position people assumed during the previous speaker talk maybe will not be the best one, but okay. So my talk will be divided in two parts, the first referring to classical physics, the second one to quantum mechanics. The first information, starting with the first part, which refers to classical physics. The first information I want to transmit to you, and in order to be sure you get such an information, I will be conservative, I will use slower than light waves, is that special relativity has been restricted too much in various senses, as we shall see, and that, on the contrary, starting from the ordinary postulates, if you don't restrict it to slower than light speed, it will accommodate. It will incorporate naturally also superluminal motions without any violation. First, I will be very quick. In 10 minutes, I hope to give you a flavor of the theory that was developed about 30 years ago. And the first point is that when you consider two frames, you know that ds square is invariant, but actually, if you make calculation carefully, you have the possibility of a double sign. And the plus sign is a usual sign that refers to frames that have a relative subluminal speed, while the minus will refer to frames whose speed, whose relative speed is faster than light. In fact,
what do you mean? You take the Lorentz transformation and put in the.
I beg you to list all your questions, prepare your bullets, and at the end to shoot at me. Not now, otherwise I will not reach the quantum physics part, as I promised to Chao, and Ray will not invite me any longer to the next.
Could I give him a quick answer?
Yeah, what?
So, Lorentz transformation, and you put V not than C, that's what you're
yes, doing. Yes. Okay. Yeah, because in relativity, if we speak about relativity, it takes 2 days. Yeah. But in relativity, the essential role of the speed of light is that it is invariant. It's not important that it is the maximal or the minimal. It is invariant. It is a limit. A limit has two sides, a priori. Okay, so I would like to say, you know that this word line refers to zero speed with respect to this frame, this to subluminal speed, this to speed of light, this to faster than light speed, this to infinite speed. And of course, if you go from when you go from a frame to another one whose relative speed is faster than light, you have to change the sign of d square, because delta square here is positive, here is negative. So you need what I was saying, you need making a recourse to such condition with minus. The same, of course, will be true not only in the space-time, but also in the energy impulse time, so that you will have this relation with plus minus, so that you will have a double sign, for instance, plus p mu p mu, this quantity will be plus m0 square for slower than light objects, zero for Luxon, and minus m0 square for tachyon. So you will have this negative for space-like particles without needing imaginaries here, but because the minus comes from the theory. We should not use slower than light physics to describe faster than light physics. That is a dangerous generalization. So what I said till now is that this square will change sign, is invariant, but will change sign when the relative speed of the two considered frames is faster than light. But, let me also put To call your attention to the fact that it changed sign dx mu, dx mu, but also as we saw p mu, p mu, and also x mu, p mu. Two all quadratic forms are invariant, but change sign when you go to a faster than light observer. And this is important, I beg you to remind this. But let us for a moment forget about tachyons, about superluminal objects. By the way, I call tachyons any superluminal objects in my definition. Let us forget about tachyons and let us consider the plus sign, the ordinary sign and the ordinary Lorentz boost along X. Then, since this condition is quadratic, we can put plus and minus here, right? We don't have to choose only plus. We can choose orthogonal and antigonal Lorentz transformation. And the minus here, this has nothing to do with the double sign we saw before. Now we are talking about ordinary frames whose relative speed is lower than light. But nevertheless, even if we have plus, we have a double sign here. But of course, a Lorentz transformation of this kind will act not only on these four vectors, but also on this four vector. So if you take a transformation like this, it will not carry you only to a particle going backwards in time, but also with negative energies. And these two happenings, that each one of them being unacceptable when they are simultaneous, as they are, by following the Stukeberg-Feynman-Sudarajan interpretation principles, LOCU interpretation and orthodox interpretation in terms of the antimatter, and I will show quickly this. Let us assume there's something going backwards in time, but carrying negative energy. This is very important. Since we are macroscopic object that we are obliged to move in time in this direction, we shall never see something going backwards in time because we shall first see this event and last that event, okay? But then what it is this event? This is absorption of negative energy. Every non-crazy people will say that here we have emission of positive energy. But if this particle had the negative charge, we shall see emission of a positive charge. And here emission of negative charge and energy will be interpreted, of course, as absorption of positive charge. And so that their interpretation that is not only possible, it is compulsory because we go in that direction of time. So this interpretation will say that we shall not see something strange going backwards in time with negative energy and the charge, for instance, but we will see something going in the right time direction with positive energy and with a charge changed, and this will happen for all additive charges. So in 1905, or rather in 1908, with Minkowski, Einstein could have predicted the existence of anti-particle. But a point I want to stress, that when you make their interpretation, this will be useful to us in the following, when we make their interpretation, the motion, the direction in space changes. Does not change, does change the direction in space, okay? Because this object is interpreted as an antiparticle going in the right time direction with positive energy, so that we can forget about negative times, negative energies, but in the opposite space direction. That is something that is acceptable.
Why did you say compulsory?
Compulsory because if something like this happens, our word line is this one. We cannot move backwards in time. We are macroscopic objects. So that we shall explore space-time in this way. So first we shall see this, and last that. So what we will see will be emission here and absorption, and there is no possibility of having something different. Okay, if you are interested, this theory was developed 30 years ago, but in 86 in rivista del nuovo cimento, that is not nuovo cimento but is a review article journal. There is a 200 page review that with the references. Such a theory made many predictions, for instance that evanescent waves are faster than light. Also stranger prediction, not yet experimentally verified, for instance a faster than light charge will behave in a sense like a magnetic monopole, since supernuminal rho and j will contribute in this way to Maxwell equation, rendering them symmetrical without anything more than slower and faster than light electric charges. But okay, I wanted to fix my attention on two points, on two predictions. The first prediction is the following. Let us consider the simplest object that you can have slower than light. The simplest object you have slower than light is a point or a ball, a sphere.
Can you go back to this previous point, about the Maxwell's equation?
Oh, yeah, but this was just...
just interesting, but this is in L, what you call L, log sine plus... Your language, or
yeah, I'm glad to discuss this, but I don't know. But okay, you see, relativity taught us that magnetic and electric field are related by motion. Yeah. So to assume two coupling constants, electric charge and magnetic charge, is contradictory, is against the universality of Maxwell equation. And in fact, only one charge exists. I would call it electromagnetic charge. Why electric? When it is at rest, builds up only electric field. When it moves, builds also magnetic. When it goes to the speed of light that cannot be reached, however it is a barrier, would build half and half. Faster the light would be more magnetic than electric, and at infinite speed only purely magnetic. So, but okay, this is completely outside my talk. We can discuss privately. Okay, no, I want only to talk about two predictions that are connected to this meeting. The first prediction is the following. Let us consider the simplest conceivable subluminal object, a point or a ball, a sphere. So this will be the world tube. Then it is not difficult to write the surface of this cylinder in terms of quadratic forms. It is possible to do that. I did it with Azim Barut. Then when the velocity changes in this region, the equation does not change because these are invariant, but when the ball is observed to go faster than light, then in this equation we have to change sign to the quadratic forms, and then we immediately get what will be the shape of a faster than light object, something unexpected, because if the ball at rest is a sphere, for instance, when its speed is less than the speed of light, we shall have a Lorentz contraction, and so we shall have an ellipsoid. And at the speed of light that cannot be reached, then we should have something flat. But when something is going faster than light, this ellipsoid becomes a two-sheeted rotation hyperboloid, and the central point becomes a double cone. So if you start from a point, you get a double cone. So that the simplest superluminal object is not a ball, but is a field, or rather a wave, propagating rigidly, because if this, we are in homogeneous medium, this proceeds without deformation. A faster than light observer would see something like that rigidly moving. And it is not without meaning that all wave equations, in particular,
sorry, for the reverse, it's true too, right? So if I take a cross and then move very fast, then I have a ball. Is that right?
Yeah.
The other way, it's reciprocal. it goes one way, and then if you go the other way, it passes the light. It looks like a little ball.
Oh yes. If you go back to a slower than light frame, yeah.
But
in fact,
isn't there a problem with rigidity?
No, because but I was speaking about rigid motion, means motion without deformation. It is well known that all wave equations admit undistorted progressive wave. Courant Hilbert called it undistorted progressive wave. So of course they had in mind slower than light localized waves. Usually such waves are called localized because they don't deformate. Rigid is a word that, however, if you consider tachyons, you can use in special relativity.
Sorry for bothering you, but if you really go to superluminal speed in the Lorentz dimensions, you get a purely imaginary coordinates.
No.
You accommodate for the purely imaginary.
Okay, I will. I would like to discuss you, but I at least a two-dimensional toy theory where everything is very simple. If you go to four dimensions, there are mathematical problems. Yes.
Because you
don't need a point-to-point transformation. A point goes in a cone. It's something more complicated. But what Einstein said about imaginaries. In two dimensions can be overcome because if you want to see the superluminal Lorentz transformation I can show, but not now, but of course a priori there are problems in the transverse coordinates, you mean, yeah? Okay.
Now, what I'm saying,
yes.
What you're doing is, if you formally put in V larger than C, you get...
I am not doing that. I am starting from the postulates and doing the theory.
Then you get an I in front of the coordinate.
No. If you start from the first postulate, you get the theory without this. These imaginaries comes only if you use the naive language of the quadratic... physicist who uses the Lorentz-Light formulas for tachyons. But if you do the theory, I will show you, but my time is rapidly elapsing. I have most things still to be said, but I would like to discuss the Lorentz transformation. Then you invite me for another talk, but with 2 hours time.
It's a simple answer.
No, because I have transparencies, but I didn't select them for this talk. Okay, in any case, if you put a plane, a transversal plane, the intersection of a fast and the light object will be a ring that closes and opens, yeah? And, the same that I said before is true for... if we consider a charged particle, these are the equipotential surfaces of its electrostatic field. When it goes faster than light, these spheres become these hyperboloids. But this is not Cherenkov cone. Cherenkov is something that is emitted by the medium. Here you have the same effect in vacuum, and the particle does not lose charge because if you make the flux, the integral of the flux through a surface, you get zero because here you have a kind of a emission, here a kind of absorption. But okay, this also can be. We also consider the field generated by faster than light electric charge, etc. Okay, so if you want more details about the shape of a tachyon, there is this paper by Barut and me in 1982 in Nuovo Cimento A. Now, I want to show that such X-shaped solutions, which are localized of, as you certainly know, exist of for all wave equations and in particular for Maxwell equations. And let me say the following. Well, if you have a function that depends on the propagation direction, let will be called Z. If you have something that depends on Z only through this expression, Z minus C, Ct, then if you travel with the speed C, you will see it undeformed. Yeah, so it's something that moves undeformed. And you can easily find the solution. Okay, this I will skip because I will just show that a typical solution of this kind that is that obeys the wave equation is a superposition of Bessel beams. You see here the dependence on Z is only through this factor. If you take the zero order Bessel beam, this is called the classical X wave. But you can find very many. This that I showed was a prediction made by Lou and me. And these are the theoretical prediction in the case of electromagnetism. And for the pointing vector, you have that there is energy going faster than light associated with that. And okay, this paper appeared in 98 in Physica R. And what is even more important is that we had an experimental verification. Even before my papers, in the case of acoustics. In the case of acoustics, Lou and Greenleaf discovered that, of course, when you solve Maxwell equations, you go to the wave equation, you usually make some simplification, you end with the scalar wave equation for each component of electric and magnetic field, so that what you get for Maxwell equation, you should get for all wave equations. So in the case of acoustics, these have been mathematically constructed and experimentally produced by Lou in 92. And Lou is using such waves that are characterized by the fact that they travel undeformed, undistorted, to make an ultrasound scanning in medicine. And the prototype is almost ready, just fixing the electronics, he told me. And because you understand, because these waves don't have to be focalized on a plane. They can show the three-dimensional image of the abdomen directly. Oh, then...
I asked, well, how much faster than the speed of sound they do?
Okay, it depends on this angle. Because the speed here is C over the cosine of this half angle. And he was not interested in a high speed. He was interested in the fact that they are undeformed. So he did not look for a very high speed. So I don't know exactly, I forgot. But the same kind of waves have been detected, produced and detected in Physical Review of 97, November, by Saari et al. At Tartu. And this represents plane waves that, of course, goes to the speed of light. This is the X waves that go faster and reaches it. But he was not bold enough to write a superluminal word in his papers. In his paper, but then after 20 years of being in...
'97.
But then I started to insist a lot with my friends of Florence, Ranfani, Mugnani, saying, you did not this 20 years ago, they already did in acoustic, in optic, why don't you do with your microwaves? They did, had the courage to write a superluminal word in the title, so they had the honor, together with Professor Young, to be quoted by New York Times, etc. Okay, but okay, I would like to say something to give an idea why I will use my hands. I will not be hand waving, just to save time. Okay, or maybe I can write. Where should I write? Here or there? Okay, thank you very much.
Go faster than light, you can do both at once.
I would like to be able to speak faster than light, but I am unable also to move. You see, if I start from rest, I cannot reach the speed of light. As Sudarshan put it, in India, people realized that nobody succeeded in overcoming Himalayas, so they may be naive enough to believe that nobody exists on the other side, but on the other side, Chinese were born and live and died there without needing crossing. In fact, for normal photons go to the speed of light, but they did not start from rest. They and accelerated. Just like Yeti, they are born and live and die at the top of the Himalayas. Okay, so okay, if you send a plane wave with the inclination of minus 5 degrees, for instance, and another one with inclination of plus 5 degrees, this point, of course, moves with the speed C over cosinus of alpha. But this is not still very interesting. If you make the axially symmetric generalization of this, you get a Bessel beam that is easily produced just by an annular ring, only one, without making an array of rings, as suggested by geometry of special relativity, without making a dynamical antenna. You have an annular ring and a lens, and then you get a Bessel beam that.
No. We need a lens too.
Lens, yeah.
He said that.
I said. Ah. Okay, excuse me.
In addition to the annular aperture.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
I said. What is called axicon.
Yeah, well, the axicon is something. The axicon is something different. This angle is called the axicon angle because, you instead of using rings, you can use an angle plus a lens, or you can use a holographic element. You may do many things, but of course, this is not yet interesting because the energy is not confined here, but it is all spread also on the arms. But then, by making suitable superpositions, you can get energy concentrated there, and it is not like the Schiesser effect. It's not an illusion. You have here energy traveling. I calculated pointing vector, etc. So that if you put here two detectors, they will make click here and click after a time smaller than L over C. And okay, then I would like to show some of these solutions. This paper is going to be published soon in European Journal of Physics, D. So I will skip some details. I will just show so we built mathematically many solutions by using an expression of this kind. But this is referred to the bidirectional decomposition, where you have non-causal components, and we avoided them by making a change in the integration limits. So we use such equation for calculating. It depends, of course, on this wave function, if you can integrate or not. But you take the book of integrals, you look all wave functions that give an integrable expression. And then you get many interesting results. For instance, you get, of course, the result with this is the x classical X waves with a J naught. But we found a way to generate infinite variations by making a certain kind of derivation. I have here the calculation, so that for the first derivative is much more concentrated. You can do the second, third, and it becomes more and more and more concentrated. And so that this solution start to be interesting. Yeah, I could say the classical X wave is this one, and we did. Okay, if you want, I will show that we did some kind of derivations and got a family of solutions. If you look from above, you see something like that. That is the reason why X. Yes?
Dispersion relation for this.
Yes, yeah.
The dispersion relation.
Can yeah.
Tell us about the dispersion of this.
Do you want to know? Yeah. The dispersion relation is such that since these are not evanescent waves, but we don't have in the dispersion relation as a negative value, because otherwise we would have evanescent waves. We have a plus, but these LOs, even if it seems that you, in that case, you get only slower than the light solution, no, because you can get slower and faster than the light grow velocity solution, because the grow velocity cannot be calculated by the ordinary formula in these cases. I can show it. I saw. Okay, this is a typical X wave, but actually the solution that really don't that travel without deformation are trains of X-shaped waves, so that the total energy is infinite, and so we had to look. Okay, this is not so bad, because also we got also nice solution, but. We had to look for finite total energy solutions. In this case, they deformate a little, so that you see after 10 seconds you have a decay in the intensity. So they will they have good properties of superluminality and of non-deformation only along a field depth, and then they will abruptly disappear. Actually, you cannot probably transmit information with faster than light speed in this case, because this object moves till when you feed them. When you don't feed them, they disappear. And in order to start, you have to start in advance, and so you have to know the information in advance. However, once the blob is built, it goes faster than light. It takes time, but then it goes. Yeah. More sophisticated is the case of evanescent waves. Yes, please.
Landauer would say this is no different from a spot of light from a distant lighthouse, you know, projected on a wall, and you see an illusion of a spot going faster than the speed of light. What would you say to him?
No, but in this case you have photons. You have energy here traveling.
No, you don't, because if you put an absorber in front of one of those blobs,
yeah,
and then you move downstream of the absorber,
yeah,
you'll still see the spot appear, because it's diffracting in from outside.
Right? Yeah.
So it's not the same energy propagating along the axis.
Yeah, you are saying that they are not the same photons.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who knows how he's made the photon? The idea that the photon is point-like is not photons. Why? We could have cylindrical photons. We don't know too much about. But in any case, this is classical physics. And from the classical point of view, you have energy traveling, even if it comes from interference of different waves. Yeah, we agree. But okay, let me say something more then. But then, as the director of the football match, the chairman should stop the time passing when there are interruptions. So at the end, I will have a right to 4 minutes more or something like that. Okay, so let us consider the case that is orthodox of a faster than sound plane, supersonic plane. It emits waves that, if there is no wind, we are at rest with respect to the air. All these moves with the speed of sound in the air, 300 meters per second. Nevertheless, they interfere negatively here and positively only there. By the way, when we are reached by the cone, we hear the sonic boom. But what I would like to say is the following. Let us put here a plane full of detectors. Then first, this detector will start recording something. Then all these detectors, then this, etc. Then, instead of putting detector, we put emitters that emit the same as was detected before. You start from there and with a higher intensity there, and then there you build a dynamical antenna. You will build, even if using waves going to the ordinary speed, you will build a cone going with a speed faster than the sound speed in the medium, without the plane, of course, here. And so that there are reasons to believe. By the way, these have been Pirelli gave me a consulate, how do you say, because they want to send in fiber optics. And so that, okay. Now the second, I will try to be very quick, because I would like to mention another consequence of the theory of special relativity, even if my main topic should be the quantum physics. And is the following. If we have a tachyon, and we go moving in the x direction, and we go in the same direction, we see it going faster, not slower, because the new frame will be represented by a rotation, yeah, in order that the tangent of this angle is equal to relative speed to the speed of the new frame with respect to the initial one. And you see the tachyon will be nearer to the x-axis, so this means higher speed. And when the x-axis of the new frame is superimposed, the speed will be infinite in that frame. And it is easy to see that if this object has the speed 100 times the speed of light, the speed you need to see it with infinite speed is the reciprocal, 1/10 of the speed of light. But then what happens if you go faster? This is a problem that stopped people believing in superluminal objects. If you go faster, the tachyon starts in the new frame here, at this instant of time, then you have to send the parallel to the x-axis to find when it arrives, it will go backwards in time. But however, you are forgetting what happens in the energy. You see, I will be quick, but I believe you can understand. The initial frame will see the tachyon in this position, for instance. The second frame, see it's going faster. Going faster, since the velocity given by this inclination means in such a position. Then the critical frame will see it going with infinite speed. Infinite speed tachyons have a total zero energy. And then the over-critical frame will see the tachyon with negative energy. And then you have backwards in time at motion with negative energy. Then you apply the interpretation principle, and then you solve, I think, all the causality problem like the Tolman anti-telephone paradox, etc. I solved it in 1985, but also I published more recently, according with respect to my time scale, in 87 in Foundation of Physics mini review discussing the causality problems. This is amusing, I think. For instance, Bell suggested the paradox to me. I solved it. I asked him the authorization to publish, and with the answer he gave it to me. So there is also Bell paradox, another kind of Bell paradox. As I was saying, one of the consequences. I should say something for the next future. So what happens if tachyon, but it is better, is more after fashion to say superluminal wavelet, for instance. Going along X with 100 times the speed of light, then we start running toward him. I don't know how to say exactly. Then we shall see it going faster and faster. Then when we reach the critical speed 100 of c, we shall see it with infinite speed. And then afterwards, we go faster. We interpret it, but the interpretation gives a motion backwards in space. So we shall see an anti-object, but in the case of a wave can be just the same, going in the opposite space direction. This has to be remembered. But now I finally I mentioned the evanescent waves, and finally I can come to the quantum part of my talk. Why? Because as we know, for instance, as has been shown in this paper 91, there are strong analogies among photon and electron tunneling, in the sense that the Schrödinger equation describing a particle, an electron, in front of a barrier is just the same as the Helmholtz equation describing, for instance, a wave in a waveguide. And when the energy is less than V0, so that you have tunneling, this means that the waveguide has a transversal size less than a critical cutoff value. Once you fix the frequency, entering frequency, for instance, 10 gigahertz, the critical value is 1 centimeter or so, as Gunther can teach to me. But since my time is disappearing, and I show that we cannot go, not even tachyons can go fast backwards in time, so even with tachyons we cannot kill our ancestors before they generated our parents. So I will speak about a particular recent work we did. That is the. So, what I was saying is that instead of. We can consider either tunneling of an electron, or also photon tunneling in a sense, or evanescent waves. The two situations. So, when I will call. Will speak about barriers, sometimes I will refer to a classical barriers, sometimes to a quantum barriers. In this case, the paper has been done with. We consider two successive barriers that we were inspired by an experiment made, I don't know, in 93-94 with two barriers by Nimitz. So, we considered two opaque barriers, okay? If I will have time, I will speak about the Hartmann effect that tells as Hartmann showed in 62, and we confirmed in 91-92 in a physics reports paper. So we are far from resonances, then you write down, you solve the Schrödinger equation, for such a situation. You make apparently stupid calculations, just trivial calculations in the various regions, how are the waves, the packet, and then you make a matching condition, etc., etc., and then you get that the tunneling time. In the, we define the tunneling time in, I believe, in a good wave, but a reasonable way. But here we just use the phase time definition for simplicity. This is a very simple calculation. So we find that the time spent for going from the beginning of the first barrier to the end of the second barriers does depend on the energy of the particle, but not on the distance between the two barriers. So let me repeat. If I will have time, I will recall that Hartmann effect means that tunneling time through a barrier, it does not depend if the barrier is opaque. No, that does not depend on its width. So that if it is large enough, the average speed would be faster than light. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not true, as we have shown in experiments and in calculations. The tunneling time is unfortunately not constant, only the transmission. And this is due to the fact that the phase time is the derivative. And as you show the spectra later, hopefully, of such a structure with resonant levels, then you see that the dispersion relation is different from one barrier. The dispersion relation, the frequency dependence of the phase.
Yeah, we
you have, and then you will find a smaller.
That's, by the way, the reason of why Longhi only found two times the velocity of light in his 2 centimeter long.
Okay, we define it, I think, in a more physical way, tunneling times, and I think that they would work. But in this case, we made a very simple calculation. I agree, but later on, I will show that we verified everything by computation in the classical case with Maxwell equation only. But okay.
Yes.
Well, why don't you wait to the end? I am going to finish. Will you? Okay, thank you. Okay, but so what? First of all, I would like to say that Aronoff accepted this result, and our paper. I am very lazy. My paper was published in Aerophysical Letters on the 15th of March, but fortunately enough, it was in the web, and Aronoff et al. considered the possibility of travel in zero time. So they accepted that quantum mechanics can predict infinite speed. This paper appeared in Physical Review A on the 22nd of May. But we also made the experiment that Niemitz was talking about, and that he will be able to discuss much better than me, because my name is here essentially because I suggested the experiment, but I tried to follow the experiment, but as time passed, I understood less and less. So, okay, I want to show what they did. As I had suggested in previous publication, that you can make a classical barrier, for instance, by a grating in an optical fiber. So they put two gratings, and they measure the time for going from this position to that position, and the result is the following. As the result is the following, that here we put the distance between the two barriers, and here is the tunneling time, the time for going from the initial point of the first barrier to the final point of the second barrier, and it does not depend. They put 18 millimeters, 28 millimeters, 35, 47, and the time, instead of increasing, the time does not change. So this is another Confirmation besides Nimitz confirmation of 93.
There also obviously a scale of the vertical axis of that experiment.
Oh, this is a tunneling time.
But what is the...
This is a distance.
Picoseconds, all right.
The distance between the two barriers.
Okay.
This is an important point.
What's the pulse width?
Sorry?
What is the pulse width? How does it compare to the...
You don't ask this to me, please. You can ask it to Nimitz who...
Slide to the left, because I think it says it.
I can tell you, 500 picoseconds in this experiment we have carried out nearly at around 1994 with microwave pulses.
Okay. Do I have 5 minutes?
Nanoseconds.
Okay, so Nimitz read the paper. He's an experimentalist also, and he will explain to you. Okay, let me say something about the Hartmann effect. By the way, we confirmed such an effect in 1992, just a little before Nimitz and Chow and Steinberg started their experiment with waves, microwaves, and with single photons. And then we confirmed that the tunneling time for does not depend on the width of the barrier. So that I will show. Oh, by the way, if you want, I can tell how we defined the tunneling time, but by using wave packets and considering the centroids and making integrals, but by using J, not rho, because from the first principle of quantum mechanics, the continuity equation, etc., you have to use J. But we also consider J plus, J minus, because there are waves going and reflected. So we gave this definition that apparently is good because it coincides with the best definition you can get from Bohmian mechanics, by the way, without using Bohmian mechanics, that I like to be conservative, at least from this point of view. And we made the calculations, and this is the result. If you have a barrier of 5 Armstrong or of 10 Armstrong, the total time is the same. And you see that this is the integral time, the time spent for going from 0 to 2 Armstrong to 4. So in the beginning, the speed is not very high, but then it gets saturated. You have here infinite speed at the end. And I a few minutes of what to say. Let me say something to Nimitz. We made calculations by using but I don't have time. By using making simulation by using only Maxwell equations. We found that such results are not only the single Hartmann effect for a single barrier, but also with two barriers, is what a Maxwell equation predicts. Not only in this case, but also in the other case. But also, let me say, in this case, for instance, there is some delay I showed you that is due to the initial geometry, to this restriction. Then we calculated the situation with one barrier, but indefinitely long. And then something interesting comes from Maxwell equation. If you have if you have a carrying wave, and then you make
you're standing in front of the projector.
Oh, excuse me. You make you send a signal. Let me say I am not claiming that it is a signal, but let me call this number 4, for instance. Then after 1 meter of the underside waveguide, that is a barrier, you get that, of course, the amplitude went down of 10 times, but you see that the width did not change, so that if you are sending information by Morse alphabet, you still can, and the time is the same. So I am not saying that in this way you can send information, you can send signal. I am just showing the results of Maxwell equations, okay? But last minute, we calculated also the precursors, the two kind of precursors, etc. But and the last information I would like to say is the following. If we consider the two barrier case, we have here infinite speed. In an ordinary guide, and nobody believes, because everybody told me we can believe here that where you have evanescence region, imaginary impulse, you have a faster than light wave groups, but not here where we have a usually propagating solution. And then we made a calculation that appeared last December in a physical review E, and showed that, I will just say, we showed that solutions exist traveling without deformation. I will show only the result. That exists the travel inside a normal wave guide, not a barrier, without deformation. We calculated after 3,000 kilometers is the same. But the explication is not difficult because in this case we had to do the following. These are the various branches of the dispersion relation. If we cut them by line like this, we get that such modes will have the same phase velocity. And phase velocity, everybody knows, is faster than light. However, when the phase velocity does not depend on the frequency, then it becomes the growth velocity. And in fact, the growth velocity is blob became faster than light, even in ordinary waveguide. So we did not solve the problem, but we just showed that I wanted only to say something. But I don't have time, but okay, let me say by hand waving. If you have a barrier that is very long, you have that the packet starts at a small speed, then it reaches infinite speed. If it overcomes the infinite speed, then it will appear. So this is a barrier. If it overcomes the infinite speed, it will appear as something going backwards in space. So that something will start from that point, a perturbation also going on, before it arrives here. So that you have this negative velocity that is, according to special relativity, appears after you overcome the infinite speed, that gives a negative contribution to the total tunneling time, so that it can be dominant, so that the tunneling time becomes negative. And in Milan, a colleague of mine made the calculation with a very realistic wave packets, because we used almost monochromatic wave packets, and she found the following, that if this is A, and we put A here, so we calculate the time for tunneling time depending on the width of the barrier. In the beginning, you have a Hartmann effect, does not depend. But then it starts goes down, you have this effect, and even you can have negative values. These are theoretical calculation. I believe that many of us did not start to get money from superluminalities. However, there are smart people, smarter than us, that are. You see, a big mafia, that will be the third millennium mafia, very big, published beautiful books, claiming that they control tachyons, and that they sell medicines that emit tachyons and cure every illness. And even in Italy, they now are a journal for women, but now a serious journal about health, publish an article about this by listing all the experts of Italy, the doctors who are experts of tachyon emission for curing illness. So you see, you cannot say that tachyons are not useful, yeah? Unless, at least for smart people, they are. Yeah? Now, that you will shoot it at me and I will...
I'll start with a simple question. That the measurement of antineutrinos sometimes yields negative energy.
Yes.
Often within the experimental error.
Yes.
Is there anything you want to say about
that? I remember that when in 1971 I was in Austin, Texas, I met Sudarshan and I asked him, do you think that neutrinos could be tachyon? He looked at me and said, yes, they could, but we had no more time to discuss about that. But since when I was a child, I had this idea, and I believe that tachyons could really be superluminal, because, for instance, when we had the explosion of the supernova, we started the neutrino astronomy. We detected the neutrinos at Monte Bianco, Mont Blanc, and at Kamiokande 4 hours later, and the machines were sensitive to different energies, and it seems that the higher energy neutrinos arrived later. But this is what is doing a friend of mine at CERN, Simone Gianni, is trying to fit the data. He said that unfortunately he needs superluminal speed. Then he phoned to me crying, saying that I'm sorry, but perhaps I need the superluminal speeds. Okay.
I have a couple of comments about the X wave. The first thing is, if you compute this ratio S over U, it's so-called energy transport velocity. In this case, we're in vacuum.
Yeah.
It seems fairly well defined. You get the component of the speed that the energy is flowing along the direction of your energy block.
Yes.
That will equal C times cosine output. So it's less than C. And then the second comment I had is, this isn't unique to Bessel beams, in that every laser physicist who has ever sent a pulse through a focus has, in a sense, without maybe knowing it, created this so-called superluminal phenomenon in the focus due to the Gouy shift. You have the kz minus the tan inverse of z over z naught. That's a little phase advance, and near the focus, you'll get this little bit of step forward, similar to the focusing Bessel beams.
Yeah, but
it doesn't need to be a Bessel beam, a Gaussian beam.
Oh, yeah. No, no, of course. But for instance, if you look at the near field, near any sources, it has been shown that you have superluminal motions. And also, even before a barrier, a quantum barrier, since you start having reflections, the reflections make a reshaping so that the arriving pulse started to be superluminal. There are infinite many cases, but I mentioned that X-shaped wave case because it was connected to special relativity. As far as your first question is concerned, I don't remember, but I thought about it, and I realized that it's not so. That if you are careful, you will not get that. But by the way,
over U is not C cosine alpha.
No.
Yes,
but in any case, if you look at my Physica paper, I calculate explicitly the solution in a rigorous way and the pointing vector, etc. You can see that energy really goes under our conditions due to interference, etc., etc. I will try to think about it maybe tomorrow or this afternoon.
We should defer further questions for informal discussions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Perhaps he wanted to shoot at me, and we didn't give an opportunity to him. Okay.